Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Peru! 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 Peru!
Car horns blared and thousands of happy Peruvian football fans celebrated in the streets of the capital, Lima, after their team qualified for the World Cup for the first time since 1982. Peru clinched the 32nd and last spot in next year's World Cup in Russia with a 2-0 win over New Zealand in Lima. Peru got goals in each half from Jefferson Farfan and Christian Ramos. The teams played to a scoreless draw on Saturday in Wellington in the first leg of their Intercontinental World Cup playoff. Earlier Wednesday, the Socceroos of Australia booked their ticket to Russia 2018 with a 3-1 victory over visiting Honduras in Sydney. And Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull gave props to Australia's hat-trick hero.
Mile Jednak, the captain, 3 goals. 3 goals. That's the captain's knock. The captain knocked 3 times. Great job. Great job, Socceroos. On to the World Cup, on to Russia, on to victory. Good luck.
Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull wishing good luck to the Socceroos in Russia next year. This will be Australia's 5th World Cup appearance. The head coach of the Socceroos is Ange Postecoglou.
Coaching your own country, it's the highest honor you can have, but it does have an extra burden that, you know, if you're not successful, it's not like you can go somewhere else and live the rest of your life. You've got to stay here and... Look, it's been a great journey. I'm super proud of these guys and the ones who aren't here and the staff, the organisation. As the Prime Minister said, it's been a long road and a hard road, but through it all, they've been unflinching in their belief. And just to see their faces after the game last night, that was enough for me. It was a great night.
With Australia and Peru booking the last 2 tickets to Russia 2018, the 32 teams will now look forward to the World Cup draw on December 1st at the State Kremlin Palace in Moscow. The draw will set 8 four-team groups for the first round of the International Football Jamboree. The 8 top seeds are already set for the draw. They are host Russia and the top 7 qualifiers from FIFA's October rankings, Germany, Brazil, Portugal, Argentina, Belgium, Poland, and France. Now let's run down all 32 teams that will be in the draw on December 1st for our VOA World Cup fans. They are, in alphabetical order, Argentina, Australia, Belgium, Brazil, Colombia, Costa Rica, Croatia, Denmark, Egypt, England, France, defending champion Germany, Iceland, Iran, Japan, Mexico, Morocco, Nigeria, Panama, Peru, Poland, Portugal, host Russia, Saudi Arabia, Senegal, Serbia, South Korea, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, Tunisia, and Uruguay. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way if you keep on the sunny side of life. Oh, keep on the sunny side.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoja here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brilafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way if you keep on the sunny side of life.
All right, Roy.
Let us greet with a song of hope each day. Though the moments be cloudy or fair, let us trust in our Savior always to keep us everyone in His care. So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way if you keep on the sunny side of life.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Basketball. In National Basketball Association news, Cameroonian center Joel Embiid had the best game of his pro career Wednesday night to lead the Philadelphia 76ers to a 115-109 victory over the host Los Angeles Lakers. The 23-year-old big man from Yaounde fired in a career-high 46 points, grabbed 15 rebounds, and blocked 7 shots. Embiid missed all of his first 2 seasons in the NBA because of foot injuries, but now that he's healthy, he's showing what he can do and drawing comparisons to Hall of Fame player Akeem the Dream Olajuwon, the great big man from Nigeria who starred in the NBA. In other NBA highlights Wednesday night, the Atlanta Hawks spread their wings and soared over the visiting Sacramento Kings 126-80. Atlanta's 46-point margin of victory was the most lopsided margin in club history. Dewayne Dedmon scored a career-high 20 points and had 14 rebounds for the Hawks. Now let's go to Greece, where Samuel Kalaila recently led a Kenyan sweep of the top 5 places in the Athens Marathon. Samuel clocked a winning time of 2 hours, 12 minutes, and 17 seconds on the hilly Athens course. A record field of 18,500 runners lined up for the race in Athens. But organizers think the marathon can grow and support an even larger field. The energetic Andy Edwards spoke with one of the main organizers in Athens. Here's Andy.
In recent days, it's been interesting to hear the president of the Hellenic Athletics Federation, the Greek Athletics Federation, Kostas Thanagopoulos, talk about the future of the Athens Marathon, the authentic marathon held over the classic course, and how he'd like to see it. And here's Kostas now. So, Kostas, what are you looking at? Because we see already that the entries are at record limit, 18,500. What's your vision for the future of the race?
Well, we do believe that the authentic marathon has the right to host much more runners at the classical course. In order to do so, we need the support of the Greek government. We need the state to build up a new start for the Athens Marathon. Since, as you mentioned before, we cannot accept more entries. We cannot accept more runners under the present situation at the start. So we realize that this is not simple. We realize that it is quite difficult, especially during the severe crisis that Greece still is on it. But I do believe also that the authentic marathon should be a priority for the Greek state, for the Greek government.
Does this mean any change to the course? Of course, we know marathon lovers everywhere know it starts in the town of Marathon, follows the historic course.
We will keep the same start, but we need a different venue there in order to host much more people. We believe that in the years to come, we will be able to have much more runners at the original course, probably more than 20 or 25,000. But we need to have the facilities to serve them in the proper way.
So this clearly needs a change in the infrastructure, whether it's widening roads or anything.
We need a new start, exactly at the same point, but a new venue.
Do you feel encouraged that here you are talking about the future developing the race when, as you say, everyone knows about the economic problems that Greece as a country and the Athletics Federation has faced, that maybe there were question marks over whether the race would continue once upon a time?
Well, the race will continue, that's for sure. But what we believe we have to invest on is to be able to host more runners. As it is, the race will continue because of our sponsors, not because of the Greek government or the Greek state. On the other hand, it looks like the Greek economy is going a little bit better this year than the previous one, so let's be optimistic. Anyhow, it's a matter of priority, you know. The government has, even now, the money to support our plan. So it depends on them. And I hope and I believe that giving pressure on the government, we will succeed this goal.
Well, that's a really optimistic and positive note to end on.
Well, I'm a positive guy. You know.
You said,
I always was. When I started with the Athens Marathon in 2006, the race had 2,500 participants. So nobody believed at that time that we could create that race. We did.
Kostas Panagopoulos, president of the Greek, the Hellenic Athletics Federation. Thanks very much. And it's a great note for the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America. Keep on sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
Thanks, David. And thanks for taking us on that healing journey on the African beat. Joining us once again on the show is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this Thursday?
Well, as you talked about earlier in the show, with Peru's victory last night, the 32 teams of the World Cup are set. And with those 32 teams being set, they have released the four pots of teams that they're going to pick from to determine the different groups for group play. And that has a lot of fans talking. They're already speculating on which groups might end up being the group of death. There are three teams in particular that I've seen a number of people talk about, Brazil, Spain, and Nigeria, as three teams that could be chosen and lumped into that group of death. And then the easy group, which I really like this, they referred to it as the group of bored to death, looking at teams like Russia, Poland, Tunisia, Morocco, Panama, Peru. But we'll see. You know, sometimes those sleeper teams are dangerous.
That's right.
Ones to watch out for.
That's right.
Can go quite far. But let the prognosticating and predictions begin for the 2018 World Cup now that we have the full field set.
And that those prognostications will just be they'll be coming more and more as we get closer to that draw on December 1st. And then we'll know the first round groupings.
Yes, so very soon. But until then, the speculation already beginning. It's become a hot topic of conversation among sports fans on social media.
Andrew, one hot topic here in the United States this week has been the UCLA basketball players who were held in China for theft. And now I understand you have an update for our VOA listeners.
Yeah, remember yesterday when I said that they may have returned to the U.S., but the drama was only beginning? Well, case in point, the drama continues after those three players yesterday, LiAngelo Ball, Cody Riley, and Jaden Hill, appeared at a press conference issuing formal apologies, saying they did not use their best judgment, and saying that they not only let their team down, but their country down. And you might also remember yesterday, Sonny, we had that tweet from President Donald Trump where he wondered out loud on Twitter if he was going to get any thank yous from those players. Well, all three of them thanking President Trump and the U.S. government yesterday for the help that they provided in getting them back from China. Now, the press conference was one element of this drama, but the other element that we saw was when Coach Steve Alford took the mic and he announced at that press conference that these three players will be suspended indefinitely as UCLA works through their investigation with their Office of Student Conduct. So Very tough decision to make, as many fans noted on social media, but ultimately one that they felt is the right decision to make until they get answers. I expect that these three players will be held accountable with some form of lengthy suspension. Right now, they're suspended until this investigation works itself out. No clear time frame on how long that's going to take, but a lot of people expecting to see them on the bench for quite some time after all of that concludes and UCLA makes a final determination.
And one other aspect of this story, Andrew, UCLA, the proudest pedigree of any team in U.S. men's college basketball, a definite stain on their reputation, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's why a lot of fans are not surprised and are even praising them for taking such swift action, saying, no, these players are going to be suspended. There was some speculation that UCLA might give them a slap on the wrist and say, okay, they serve a one- or two-game suspension, and then they're back in. This signals that they are taking this very seriously, that they are looking into this very seriously. And ultimately, for those three players, even though they've expressed remorse, they said their apologies. They said that this is not reflective of their character. And even though Coach Steve Alford said he hopes they learn from it, it looks like they will be out of the game for a good chunk of time.
What else is trending in the sports world, Andrew?
Well, someone who is in the game for a good chunk of time and doing quite a lot with it is Cameroon-born star Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers, making history last night, notching 46 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists, and 7 blocks for the 76ers in their 115-109 win over the Los Angeles Lakers.
Great performance.
Great performance, one of the best of his career, and the last player, Sonny, to have 40 points, 5 assists, 10 rebounds, and 5 blocks, or at least those numbers in a game, Julius Erving back in December 1982.
Pretty good company.
Very good company, and 35 years ago, I think that was, if I do the math correctly. So quite momentous to have such a great game and great numbers in a game. And Joel Embiid, quite a young player, part of a rebuilding for the Philadelphia 76ers, actually played at the University of Kansas. And I'll say that the University of Kansas now has another Africa connection, Udoka Azubuike, who is Kansas's 7-foot-tall center from Nigeria. So African players have done quite well for themselves at the University of Kansas. Embiid, though, now that he's in the pros, soaking it all in, posting a picture on social media showing him driving to the basket and knocking over Los Angeles's Lonzo Ball, the brother of LiAngelo Ball, who's at UCLA. Lonzo Ball now playing for the Lakers after his college stint at UCLA. Embiid writes on this post, "What a night," in all caps, and hashtag the process. Now, trust the process has been a term used to describe the 76ers rebuilding by adding players like Embiid and point guard Ben Simmons. It's now become kind of a catchphrase that people use, and certainly 76ers fans are using it as they are trusting the process, and it is paying off dividends, especially with those two, Embiid and Simmons, playing so well. Also, a bit of a dig at Lonzo Ball's father, LeVar. On Instagram, when Embiid put that picture up, he tagged the location of the photo as LeVar. So sticking it to the Ball family just a little bit, kicking them when they're down. Certainly not a great night for Lonzo Ball and not a good time for LiAngelo and the Ball family.
I know it's early in Joel Embiid's NBA career, Andrew, but he is drawing comparisons with Hakeem Olajuwon, another great player from Africa. Based on his agility and footwork, he really moves great for a big man.
Yeah, and I think the 76ers fans are happy to make that comparison and hope that it pays out.
Well, we have about less than a minute left in the show, Andrew. Anything else trending?
Yes, we'll end with congratulations for Serena Williams and her fiancé Alexis Ohanian, the co-founder of the website Reddit. According to reports, the two are set to get married today in the city of New Orleans, Louisiana. No word from them yet on social media, but the fans are speculating, saying maybe Serena's getting married now so she can start training for the Australian Open when that comes around in January 2018. There have been rumors that she's going to make her return from her pregnancy at the Australian Open. Of course, she won that tournament last year while she was pregnant. So fans are really hoping that she does make that return, and they're hoping for a great, long, and happy marriage for her and Alexis. And we are as well, so congrats to them.
Congrats, Serena. Congrats, Alexis. And thank you, Andrew Palcheski.
Thank you, Sonny.
And that wraps up the November 16th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Vasco Volaric. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The U.S. Ambassador to Ghana, Robert Jackson, recently honored 9 Ghanaian communities selected to receive grants to promote education, agriculture, and economic growth at the local level. The grants, totaling $75,000, are part of the ambassador's small grants program. Speaking at the signing ceremony, Ambassador Jackson praised the communities for developing sustainable, high-impact, community-supported projects. As grantees, you are joining a distinct group of communities and organizations throughout Ghana, he noted. You have demonstrated that you can unite your political, civil society, religious, and business leaders to provide for the needs of your community, with a little extra assistance from the U.S. government. But in reality, the real efforts are yours, and we are honored to be your partner. Projects selected for funding include construction of an electrical workshop in the Ashanti region, completion of a school dining hall in the Ashanti region, completion of a primary school and a junior high school in the same region, the purchase of new furniture and learning materials for the Castle Road Special School in Accra, completion of a classroom block in the Upper West region, and the reconstruction of a shea butter processing facility in the Upper West region. In addition, 3 organizations will receive grants to buy new Gary processing equipment and stoves. The Nyambe Kiyeri Women's Gary Processing Association in the Brong-Ahafo region, the Premier Agribusiness Association in the Eastern region, and the Miyingor Farmers Group in the Volta region. The Ambassador's Small Grants and Special Self-Help Program has provided support to grassroots development efforts since 1964. Over the last 3 decades, the U.S. Embassy in Accra has distributed more than $2.3 million in such grants to support community development projects. The U.S. is proud to work with its public and private sector partners in Ghana to promote education, agriculture, and economic development for the people of Ghana.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga. Join me for VOA's discussion program, Reporters Roundtable, every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas and take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. So please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts, covering Africa news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.